Welcome to RVing Dads, episode number 10. This is Todd Muller, sitting next to my partner here.
Dustin Dinkins, episode 10, woo!
Woo! Sounds like a anniversary, or we should have a party or something. Tonight we are going to talk about the different types of RVs. So we're going to talk about everything from Class A's, Class C's, travel trailers, fifth wheels, toy haulers, what it all means. So thanks for tuning in. Before we get into that, want to mention our sponsor to start with. As always, RVing Dads is brought to you by Full-Time Families. FullTimeFamilies.com. Check it out. It's a great resource if you are a family thinking about RVing, you are RVing full-time, or if you're even just thinking about being if you are a weekend warrior, getting out there and camping with your kids, Full-Time Families is a great organization. Not only is there a free Facebook page and website, but if you do become a member, and it's pretty cheap, I want to say it's about $45 a year. You get a whole bunch of other things. You get discounts on Good Sam's, Good Sam, and a whole bunch of other things. So check it out. And the last thing, I know we talked about this in our last podcast.
T-shirts.
Yes. That was our big news last time, RVing Dads.
I feel like we should give some away since it's our 10th episode.
That's a great idea. Maybe we have a special guest here. Maybe he should get an RVing Dads t-shirt.
Ooh. So first time ever, not only do we have t-shirts, but we have a special guest.
Yes. Anyway, our t-shirts, they are available on Amazon. Go to Amazon.com and search for RVing Dads, and the first thing that should come up is the RVing Dads podcast t-shirt and other material to come soon.
Well, it's about 10 o'clock Thursday afternoon. Tomorrow's a travel day. We're all headed from northern Michigan to lower Michigan for a full-time family rally. So excited for that. But while we sit around the campfire here, we have a first for RVing Dads. We have a special guest. We have Tony from Let's Travel Family. Tony?
Thanks, Todd and Dustin.
So it's great to have you here. First of all, before we jump into our topic, which is different types of RVs, maybe Tony, you can describe for us what the Let's Travel Family empire is. What is Let's Travel Family? What do you guys do?
Let's Travel Family, it started as a blog. Jill, my wife, picked it up as we started our travels, and it's kind of grown into various social media networks, and we just launched a vlog as of about 3 weeks ago. So vlog, not blog, even though we do both. So we got a YouTube channel as well. So everywhere, different social media networks, just look for Let's Travel Family. And we also got the main blog is at letstravelfamily.com.
Awesome. So make sure you check that out. And also, can you maybe give us a little background, because you're another one of the full-timers here traveling with your family. Who's in your family?
So like I was saying, it's got the wife, Jill, and then four kids with. And we have Riley, who's 9, Lilia, who's 7, Gwendolyn, who's 5, and Jasmine, who's 3.
That is awesome.
Today's episode's all about types of RVs, and it's probably one of the most confusing things for newbies, right? When they start RVing, everyone calls them RVs, but boy, you start with the acronyms TT and 5TH and C and A and B.
Yep, toy hauler.
Toy hauler. Boy, it sure can get confusing. So let's just do a quick rundown on what are some of the types of RVs that you could use as a full-timer.
Sure. So I guess maybe I'll start with the smallest, kind of work our way up maybe. But Class B, you don't see a lot of Class Bs out there, but they're those Sprinter vans, Mercedes vans. Usually, I would say they're smaller, maybe a smaller family. Couple, maybe one or two children, but you don't see a lot with the larger families. From Class B, you can get up to a Class C. And we have Tony here, who is our expert, because he is traveling with his family in a Class C. So Class C, how would you describe a Class C, Tony?
Class C is the kind of, I would describe, the classic motorhome look. It's got the cab over bunk, generally built on, the particular one we have is built on an E450 chassis, so kind of a big box van chassis, and they come in various configurations. Ours is happens to have a slide out with bunks in it, so it's kind of a rarity out there, but lots of different configurations for Cs.
Absolutely. And like Tony said, they're kind of the, when you think of an RV, that's probably what you think of. It's like a van with a camper on the back.
Yeah, if you're going to rent an RV, it's going to be a Class C, right?
Yep.
Then from there, I guess we go to Class A.
Yeah, the Class A's. Those would be the motorhome style, more of a bus. So you're going to have probably a diesel engine in it, and it's going to look more like a bus than a typical Class C.
And sometimes if you hear about Class A's, you'll hear the term diesel pusher.
Diesel pusher.
And that's what it's referring to. You got a diesel engine in the back of it, pushing it. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, right? I guess from there.
Towables.
So we'll start with travel trailers. Travel trailers are your basic tow behind. They're hooked up to your truck or your SUV or your van, I suppose, with a ball hitch, on the back of the truck. They range in size anywhere from pretty small, probably about 12 feet is probably the smallest I've seen, all the way up to 40, probably even over 40 at this point.
They can be quite long. Yeah, and then you go to a fifth wheel, which is typically a much larger RV, which has a special towing configuration where the hitch mounts directly in the bed of a truck, a pivot point right over the axle, and allows for a bigger and heavier trailer than a typical travel trailer.
Yep. So why don't we talk about some of the, I guess, there's a couple different configurations. Can people talk about toy haulers?
Yeah, toy haulers, of course. That's probably one of the most common that we've seen. But toy hauler simply has a door that folds down in the back. Usually it would have a garage intended to store a four-wheeler or motorcycles.
Yep. And, you know, obviously you see travel trailers, you see fifth wheels with toy haulers. I've even seen a Class A with a toy hauler. I'm not sure about Class Cs. They're probably out there.
Probably more of the Super C. I guess that's an even more esoteric configuration. A Super C is designed just like a Class C is, you know, kind of the cab over classic motorhome shape, except it's built on a heavy truck frame, so like a giant Kenworth or Peterbilt heavy truck, and then outfitted from there. And so you'll actually see a lot of racers, whether it be motorcycles, dirt bikes, they'll actually go generally with a Super C setup, just because of the sheer power that the chassis give you.
Right, and those would be capable of having a toy hauler in the back. But of course, you know, kind of in our world, I know I have a toy hauler, and most of the people we know use that toy hauler for a bedroom for kids.
Yes, indeed. Our kids are our toys.
Yes.
And then let's not forget, there are some other types of RVs. We could certainly have a truck camper, which is a camper that fits in the bed of a truck. It can have slides, it can be small, it can be large. But that's sometime use, and you could even go as far as a tent, right?
Yep. You know, probably the gateway drug, I guess, for all of us is, I know my family spent a lot of time in a tent before we bought an RV. And I guess between tents and your smaller RVs, you also have your pop-ups and a lot of the new teardrops and art pods and really tiny pull-behinds that are really made for two people to sleep in. And they usually have an outside kitchen and no bathroom.
So why don't we talk about what each of us started in? So I started in a Class C.
Okay.
And then migrated to a travel trailer, and then finally to a fifth wheel.
Okay.
Over a 4 or 5 year span. How about you, Todd?
I went straight from a tent to a fifth wheel.
Okay.
And I've been in a fifth wheel ever since.
We launched about 15 months ago in our Class C, and we are still in our Class C at this point. Haven't really come across anything that's made us change, but at the same time, options always have to stay open based on what type of travel you want to do.
Yep. All right, so let's just jump in with a little more detail here into what the differences are. And obviously when you're traveling with a family, or when you're traveling by yourself, it doesn't matter. It's really a personal choice. It what works best for you, what works best for your family. There's reasons we all chose what we have. There are certain advantages and there's disadvantages to each of the different types. So, as our special guest, we're going to let Tony go first here. He's got the Class C, so Tony, why don't you tell us why that was the perfect choice for you guys?
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, so when we were first researching different types of rigs to start traveling with, you know, there's obviously fifth wheels, travel trailers, you know, Class A's, B's, C's, like we already covered, but we ended up choosing a Class C. Kind of the unit we found we liked because with four kids, we wanted dedicated sleeping space. As you know, with most campers, that you have foldable couches, dinettes, things like that. But we wanted each of our kids to kind of have their own dedicated sleeping space and not have to break down a, you know, table to sleep on, something like that. So that was one of our choices. The Class C model we found, it was 33 feet long. So that allowed us to get into pretty much any park out there. Something you might run into if you do decide to start RVing is length restrictions, turning radius restrictions, things like that. So with ours being 33 feet, you know, that allowed us to get into different size places. The other thing too, it's fully self-contained. So we have an onboard generator, and then we have all the tanks we need so that we can carry fresh water and boondock very easily because it's a single unit. And so that was something we liked.
Right. And I think yours is somewhat unique, right? Because it has slides.
Right. Yeah. So it's a Class C with slides. That's something they just started within the past couple years. And then it's also very unique because it has two bunk beds in it. So we have four kids, and then two of the kids sleep on the cab over bed, which is quite large. Plenty of space for them, and then the other two kids each have a bunk bed, so everyone's got dedicated sleeping space. Another thing that we liked with the Class C is the wife is comfortable driving it. So sometimes,
that's important.
Yep, that can be a big deal if you have a one-ton truck and a, you know, 35, 40, 45-foot trailer. You can get quite long, so your partner may not enjoy driving that. And so with us, though, Jill's been able to take over and drive sometimes.
I was also drooling as Tony pulled in and set up his RV. He just pushed a button and his nice hydraulic legs leveled his RV in seconds. So I was drooling over that capability.
Yeah, definitely. You can see the advantages in driving a Class C. It's easier than having a pivot point, I guess, in the middle of your rig.
Yep.
And do you see any disadvantages to a Class C?
Definitely. I mean, you know, we're pretty limited at our size. I mean, 33 feet, I think, is about pretty much the biggest you're going to get in a Class C. I mean, I'm sure there's a 35 foot or 36 foot out there, but with ours being 33 feet, it can get tight every now and again when you have six people in there. But when we chose to launch, we wanted to be out in nature more and just kind of get outside more. So the whole goal was to have somewhere to have safe and secure shelter, but then, you know, not promote us wanting to hang around in the RV all the time.
Right. And then I know one other maybe disadvantage for some folks is you need a chase car, right? You need another vehicle, either that or you have to unhook your rig to go to the store, something along those lines.
Correct. Yes. So yep, with us we have a minivan as well, and instead of towing it, which you can do with most Class C's, we actually drive our minivan separate. So Jill, my wife, drives the minivan with the kids, so they're all buckled in their car seat safely, and then I drive the Class C solo. And so yeah, it's you know, can be a disadvantage. We have seen people actually out there without a chase car, which right. Can be, you know, it can be possible, but then again, if you want to run to the store quick, you have to bring your house with.
Yes, for sure. And I think you touched on a little bit too, safety, right?
Yes.
So in a Class C, if you have kids and you want to put them in, I'm sure some Class C's come with the full seatbelts, or you can have them installed.
Yep. Yeah, and so ours came from the factory with eight, seating for eight, actually. So there's eight seatbelts in the rig itself. But at the same time, you know, hurling down the road at 60 miles per hour, you know, with four kids under 10 may not be the safest thing. So we've, you know, met plenty of people that have C's or Class A's as well, you know, where their families do ride in there. And so they try and just observe, like, airplane rules, so to speak, you know, don't get up unless you absolutely need to, kind of thing. So right. At this point in our travels, we're just utilizing the chase car, or the toad. It's another industry term.
Right. Yep. Excellent.
Before we went full time, we also had a Class C, and that was kind of our gateway drug, if you would. It got us into camping, it got us out, it got us exploring and sleeping in the RV, and it was certainly fun. However, we sold it, and then when we went full time, we did so in a travel trailer. Travel trailer for us was the least cost to get into the lifestyle. We had a large passenger van, a 15-passenger van, and so we just chose the biggest travel trailer we could find to pull behind that large passenger van. And so we had a 29-foot toy hauling travel trailer with no slides. And thankfully, we had four children that were very small at the time, so we were able to double bunk them. And travel trailers are nice. Some of the advantages that I liked, it was very inexpensive to purchase the travel trailer.
Right.
It was very easy to connect the travel trailer typically. It's just a typical ball that you would have on the back of any truck or van. Let's see, backing wasn't too bad. It was I was familiar with backing a trailer, so it had no learning curve.
Did you see any disadvantages to a travel trailer?
Disadvantages to a travel trailer? Yeah, if you've ever been into an RV park and you watch a truck and a travel trailer pull in, the first thing you're going to notice is the big clunking.
Right.
Every time it makes a turn. And that's from the equalizer bars. Since there's this pivot point between the vehicle and the trailer, you need an equalizer or like a sway bar to help the help you not die, I guess I could say it in a nice word.
And I guess the purpose of that really is to try to transfer the weight over to the two vehicles.
Yeah, and maybe I'm getting the two, I'm combining the two. So two purposes of that. One is an equalizer, so it puts some of the weight of the trailer onto the suspension of the vehicle that's towing it. And the second purpose is for swaying purposes. So when you're driving down the road at 60 miles an hour and a semi passes you, it creates this large gush of wind and then a vacuum behind it. And that's going to tend to kind of push the travel trailer away from you or away from the semi first and then pull it back. So that's going to create this large swaying movement. And so the purpose of an equalizer hitch is to kind of dampen that swaying.
That swaying.
Yes, and I think anyone that's ever driven with a travel trailer can tell you that it can be scary at times. So having a good equalizer and sway bar is absolutely critical. So in my mind, that was probably one of the biggest disadvantages. For my family, it was the lack of space. We had no slides, and a smaller ceiling height.
Mm-hmm.
So once we started touring fifth wheels, it was kind of a no-brainer. If you've ever walked into a fifth wheel and you have a nice 10-foot ceiling height, it feels much larger. So after we had full-timed for about 9 months in our travel trailer, my wife and I sat down and we said, boy, we sure do like this lifestyle, but we hate this tiny little space. Let's go. If we're going to continue, we have to go a little bigger. So a couple trips to the RV store, and we had ourselves a nice fifth wheel. So, Todd, why don't you tell us about your fifth wheel?
Sure. So, when we decided to launch, like I mentioned earlier, we went from a small tent to a really big tent, and then we decided we went full time. We were going to purchase an RV. I think we kind of looked around at some of the different options. And when I say look around, I meant look at online, right? I didn't go tour a lot of them, but online, we took a look at some Class C's, some Class A's, travel trailers, fifth wheels. And I think for my family, it just made sense to go fifth wheel. Wanted something a little bit bigger. My children were a little bit older when we launched. They were, 14, 12, and 10 when we launched. So they're a little bit larger. So we did want some space where they could have their own area. So we went with the 41-foot fifth wheel. Obviously, for us, the advantages was, there's a master bedroom. There's a... we have four slides and I'm sorry, three slides, and two of them are opposing right in the living room kitchen area. So we have a nice big living room kitchen area, and then in the toy hauler garage section, that's a bedroom for my kids, and we have a loft where the other car child gets to sleep. I think it was that, and I think from a safety perspective, I felt more comfortable. One of the nice things about a fifth wheel is where that hitch is, right? It's in the middle of your truck bed, and what it's doing, the reason it's there is it's putting all that weight from your trailer right over the wheels, right over the axle and the tires of the truck, where something like a travel trailer, the weight's really at the back of the truck. It's almost like it's pulling the back of the truck down, where with a fifth wheel, it's a little bit more equalized. So they tend to tow a little bit nicer. Took a little for me. You know, I was very used to backing up trailers, but the pivot point's different. So it took a little trial and error for me to learn how to really back up the fifth wheel as proficiently as I had with other trailers. But how about you, Dustin? I know you're in a fifth wheel now. What are the advantages you see there?
Well, Todd, I think for the fifth wheel, it's all about ease of towing. Once you get going down the road, it's so easy to drive. When I was towing a travel trailer, it was very white-knuckled. I had two hands on the wheel and holding it as tight as I can. And by the end of my travel day, I was just exhausted and really stressed out. Once we moved to a fifth wheel, you know, I could drive down the road with a pinky on the wheel if I so chose, and not a care in the world. It was really night and day. So that made all the difference for me as far as safety and comfort with the lifestyle.
Yep. How about disadvantages?
They're big.
Yes. they're big, and you know, you get up there and they weigh a lot. So you do need a fairly large tow vehicle.
Is that a disadvantage though? I kind of think that's a reason to get a big truck.
Yeah, the best excuse.
Right. I guess that's true. It's a good excuse to get a big truck. You know, my fifth wheel when it's fully loaded is about 18,500 pounds. So I definitely went with a 1-ton dually to pull all that weight. So. But maybe it is an advantage. I enjoy having a big truck, but certainly...
The height is a big thing for me, Todd, yes. Because now I have to care about the height of the bridges and the road that I'm going on, so I can't just carefree drive anywhere I want. I actually have to be a little concerned with where I'm going, and the fuel stations. I have to watch what's in front of me and the turnaround points, because it's a 40-foot fifth wheel behind me, so I have to be cognizant that I can't pull into every Burger King or...
Right. For sure. Yeah, I know for us, I typically look for truck stops because I know I'm going to be able to get in there. And I also have to be careful, like you said, of low bridges. We've had a couple times we've gotten on some roads and all of a sudden there's a sign and, well, lo and behold, I got to turn around because there's a low bridge coming. All right, and then I guess the last type of RV we want to talk about is Class A's. Class A's are your big buses.
Motorhome.
Motorhome. Kind of the best of both worlds, worst of both worlds. They're a good mixture. Don't see a lot of them with full-time families, I guess, or families traveling full-time. I don't want to make a joke here, but a lot of retired couples, I would say, have some big Class A's. So Tony, what do you think? What are some of the advantages to a Class A?
Some of the advantages of a Class A, even over a Class C or fifth wheel or travel trailer, you're going to have, again, like a Class C, it's going to be a fully self-sustained unit, so you're going to have onboard propane. Class A's are all going to have hydraulic jacks. So it's different than a stabilizing system that you're going to get in a trailer, so a leveling system actually levels your unit and partially lifts it off the ground, so that you get a very steady living situation. You're going to have high ceiling heights in there, especially against a Class C. You're going to have that gigantic, huge front window to really give you a good vantage point when you're driving through the beauty that this country has to offer.
For sure. And do you need any kind of special license to drive one of these gigantic things?
It's funny you say that, because even though it's called a Class A, you definitely do not need a commercial endorsement of any sort. Although I believe Texas, if you get over a certain weight or length, you might need to get an addition to your standard driver's license. So, right. But again, you're not commercial, so it's not an actual Class A or a CDL that's required to drive that.
I think the only requirement is being able to afford it.
Yes.
And that's probably the number one disadvantage, right, of a Class A?
Yeah, they tend to be a little costlier. Typically, they're going to have a large diesel engine, typically a rear-mounted diesel engine, you know, big engine. It's going to push that bus along at highway speeds, no matter if you're going over the mountain or across Kansas. And it's going to just be a smooth, pleasurable ride, right?
Yep, for sure.
But it's going to be costly and...
You're going to burn a lot of fuel.
You're going to burn a lot of fuel. Right. And why don't we see many families using these Class A's?
You know, I think a lot of it comes down to layout. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of, you know, real family-friendly layouts. Now, I know a few families that do travel in a Class A, and there are some unique layouts out there that will yep. make it good for a family, but a lot of times those Class A's, those big buses, are really designed for two people.
Yep, yeah, off the showroom floor, the newer models generally don't have family friendly, but you'll see some out there where they'll take an old Prevo chassis and, you know, take an old tour bus that had 9 bunk beds and a, you know, party room in the back maybe, and, you know, they'll convert it to a family friendly playhouse. And so, yeah, there's definitely possibilities out there. And then, you know, disadvantages kind of the coincide with the fifth wheel. You get the height restrictions because you generally see those Class A's, they're quite tall.
For sure.
You know, cost to operate, again, it's if you can afford it, you know, that's all that matters, really. But you're running, some of them, they do make them in a, you know, the single axle configuration with a gas motor. Those are kind of more the entry point Class A's, but then you're going to move into the big bus chassis ones that have the diesel engine, yep. dual rear axle, running bus tires, and those are not cheap.
And I would kind of going along those lines, maybe one of the other disadvantages would be repairs. You know, when my Ford F-350 has a problem, I can bring it to a Ford dealer, any real mechanic. If you have a big diesel pusher and you have a problem with it, you're limited where you can take
you
it.
You have to bring your house in to get it fixed.
Correct, yes, that's the other thing.
Bring your
too.
House in for an oil change.
Yep.
Right.
Now, if I was taking a 2-week trip from Key West to Alaska over a short time frame, like 2 weeks, I would definitely want to be doing that in a Class A. But as a full-time family, that really doesn't fit my lifestyle. How about you, Todd?
No, definitely not. And actually, while we're talking about Class A's, there's one other we kind of forgot about, I guess. What about a schoolie?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Can't forget about the schoolies.
Right.
So for those of you who don't know, a schoolie is a school bus. It's typically someone goes out, and a lot of school districts, when they hit a certain mileage with their school buses, they retire them and they sell them. And you can go buy one, and you're going to rip all the seats out, and you're going to customize it and make it your own. So any thoughts on schoolies?
Yeah, we actually have friends that they did that. They went and purchased an old school bus, and the husband is very handy. He was a general contractor, concrete guy, and mechanic, so he did everything himself. He, you know, tore the engine down, completely gutted the schoolie, and, you know, beefed up the engine, retrofitted the entire interior, even down to the clawfoot tub that he put in the back, because his wife was his wife enjoyed soaking in a bathtub. And so, yeah, they have a schoolie. And then we also met another couple when we were down in Florida last winter, traveling artists, and they had a converted school bus. And, you know, so it was just them two and their pet. But, you know, so you can have two, or our friends that have it, they have 5 kids. Wow. And then the husband and wife in there. So, yeah, yep. they
made it their own.
Yep.
And schoolie seems so romantic.
Right? It is. It's
right. They are romantic for sure. I mean, I would say probably the two disadvantages to a schoolie is, one, you have to be handy. Like
very,
you said,
very handy.
You're not going to go buy a schoolie off the showroom floor. You're going to have to buy an old one and retrofit it to meet your needs.
Yep, and then school buses typically don't come with, you know, waste treatment systems and propane and heating and all that. So you gotta be able to pump in, you know, heat, AC. I mean, yes, it's there from the original, but if you're gutting it, that's definitely something you have to look at too.
Yep, and like you said, water tanks, sewer tanks, gray tanks, black tanks.
One of the disadvantages that a lot of families don't maybe initially learn about with schoolies is a lot of parks discriminate against them.
Yes.
Especially membership parks.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. A lot of parks won't allow schoolies. One of the bigger ones is Thousand Trails. You know, we use Thousand Trails a lot. We have a membership, and it's a great way to see the country at a, you know, more effective price point, but they're one group that don't allow schoolies. All right, so we've talked all about all the different types of RVs. Actually, we probably missed something. Someone's going to send us an email and say, hey, you missed.
We didn't cover Airstreams.
Right.
I mean, that's all. Yes, it's a towable, but that's a whole other planet right there.
Yeah, it's another planet. That's a good way to say it.
And pop-up campers. We really didn't cover pop-up campers.
Right. Don't see a lot of full-timers, but that's a possibility.
Yep, that's a good point. But so why don't we talk about some of the differences and some of the things that are important to families traveling, right? Those who are traveling with kids, I know weight capacity is a big one. Weight capacity is always an issue, no matter how much weight capacity you have, it always seems that you're going to be very close to your limits.
You know, that's something that we know about, Todd, cargo carrying capacity, but you know, if I was a newbie, I wouldn't know about that.
For sure.
So could you kind of like walk us through, treat me like I'm 5 years old here?
I will try, but carrying capacity, so every rig out there, whether it's a Class A, a Class C, a fifth wheel, travel trailer has a carrying capacity. So I'm going to make some numbers up here, but your RV may weigh 15,000 pounds, but your RV is capable of carrying 2,000 pounds. And that 2,000 pounds has to contain everything you're going to put into it. So it could be, if you're going to carry water, you're going to have some, your gray tank full, your black tank full,
propane.
It all goes against that carrying capacity. So,
in a motorhome or a Class C, it would also be the occupants too, the driver and the passengers.
Yes,
correct.
Right, so exactly. So like with a Class C, your carrying capacity has to include your family that's traveling with you. So I guess typically, probably Class Cs, I would say hold your lower carrying capacity.
Right, yeah. Our Class C, I believe the cargo carrying capacity is around 1,300 pounds. So that sounds like a lot, but you know, with us, we're full-timing, and so if you take all your possessions and all your food and toys and tools and bikes and everything and put it on a scale, and if it's more than 1,300 pounds, you're going to be overweight. And then, like they were saying too, you have tanks to worry about. So if you have any gray water, black water, or fresh water on board, also with our Class C, we have onboard propane. So that tank alone, you know, that adds to it. It's a 55 pound tank. You know, and so if we were to fill that, have the fresh water full, a full fresh water tank in ours is about 400 pounds. So you can see it gets eaten up real quick.
Yeah, for sure. Throw a couple of school books and a couple other things for the kids and you're over. I guess right after Class C's, what do you think is next as far as carrying capacity?
Probably a travel trailer.
Yep.
Yeah, and travel trailers, you know, they're going to vary. There's so many different ranges and sizes of travel trailers. You can find some with, you know, 500 to 1,000 pounds of carrying capacity, and you can find them on the opposite extreme where they're going to have 25 or 3,000 pounds of carrying capacity for certain particular models.
Right. And Class A's are, I guess, they have a fairly large carrying capacity, most of them.
Yeah, I think most people don't care about the carrying capacity on a Class A. Is that
right.
True?
I don't own one, but it's a bus chassis, just loaded up. Exactly. It's a bus chassis, and you're probably not going to run into too many cargo carrying issues with that.
Yeah, you can pretty much fill everything up and put rocks down the middle of it. And
you're going to run out of size or space before you run out of weight, right?
Yes.
Sure. Then fifth wheels. That was one of the advantages for us. One of the reasons we went with a fifth wheel was the carrying capacity, and in particular, a toy hauler. So, you know, your fifth wheels, I don't know what you think the range is there, probably about 2,000 pounds up to maybe 5,000 pounds?
Yeah, I would say that's a good range. If you have a standard fifth wheel, right, so a non-toy hauler fifth wheel, like a bunkhouse or something, you might expect a 2,000 to maybe 2,500 pound cargo carrying capacity. I think that would be reasonable.
Yep.
And then when you bump up to a toy hauler, and they're designed to carry some big cargo in the back and hence a lot of extra cargo carrying capacity. So what is your toy hauler?
So my toy hauler empty is about 13,600 pounds, and I can get all the way up to about 18,005. So I guess that's a little bit less than 5,000.
Wow, incredible! Yeah, 5,000 pounds.
Right, but and you know, with a toy hauler, it does have a built onboard generator and a fuel tank. So I'm carrying around about 35 gallons of fuel with me as well, which eats away at that carrying capacity.
Now, what's the big difference there, Todd, between, say, a bunkhouse fifth wheel and a toy hauling fifth wheel? How can you suddenly go from 2,000 to 3,000 pounds up to 5,000 pounds of carrying capacity? What has to be added to make that possible?
Well, I think there's probably a few things. I know in ours, probably the biggest thing is that extra axle.
Oh.
So instead of a dual axle, a lot of the bigger toy haulers are triple axle. So you have six tires on the pavement instead of four.
Is that good or bad?
Well, it's good because it's a nice, you feel comfortable there because you can blow a tire and keep on moving, but it's also not an advantage when you got to go put new tires on it.
Or go through the toll booth.
Or go through the toll booth, right. How about yours? You have a toy hauler, but you have a double axle.
Yeah, so I actually have a front living room. So my last fifth wheel was a toy hauler, triple axle, yeah, and it had almost a 4,000-pound carrying capacity triple axle. We changed to a more traditional fifth wheel, which is a front living room fifth wheel. It's not a toy hauler. It's a double axle, which is a change for us. It's two less tires to purchase. We have a good cargo carrying capacity. It's about 3,200 pounds, and I think that's good. I've actually heard from other full-timers that a good rule of thumb is 500 pounds per person in the RV. So we have a family of six, therefore we require about 3,000 pounds of cargo carrying capacity. And that rule of thumb seems to work well for us. Other families require less.
Tony's sitting right here. I know he's counting less.
Well, let's see. If we divide by six, that leaves about 200 pounds per person. So, yeah, so the Class C might afford you more of the minimalist lifestyle if that's what you're going after, because you just don't have the space for it.
Right. Right.
And your RV, Todd, you have how many people?
My RV, we have five, and a big dog.
Okay.
So maybe if that dog counts as 500 pounds, but we are, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I think no matter what your carrying capacity is, it's always you're always kind of creeping up on the limit. I know I do have to weigh myself fairly often just to make sure I'm not getting close to my limit. I do like to keep mine a little bit below where I can max out.
But there's a lot of different features, right, that we're going to see across these different types of RVs, like generators, for instance.
Yep.
So both of you have generators in your RVs, in the Class C and the fifth wheel. In my fifth wheel, it's not a toy hauler, so therefore it typically does not have a generator. My tank size might not be as big as a toy hauler. Maybe we should talk about tank sizes and what that affords
yep.
us.
That's true. And just to kind of step back on what you mentioned there, you know, I'm not sure quite why it works out that way, but you're right. A lot of times the toy haulers will come with a built-in generator, an onboard generator. I don't know why, if you have a garage in the back, they decide you need a generator up front, but, you know, that was a decision, or it was a nice thing to have when we purchased ours. It wasn't a requirement for us to have a generator, but it is a nice thing to do when we have to boondock, or we do have solar on the unit, but it's nice to flip that generator on when I need power.
Yeah, you know, when I first started full-timing, we did have a generator, and you know the only reason we used it was when we traveled. We had a baby on board, and so every 50 miles we would stop at a truck stop and turn on the generator and warm up a baby bottle and quiet the baby down and then move to the next rest area.
Perfect.
So let's talk about tank sizes.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start first with tank size in a toy hauler. Again, they're typically larger. And I guess with a toy hauler, the thought is you're going to be boondocking more, but you know, we can carry about 90 gallons of fresh water and about 50 gray, 30 in our galley, which is more gray water, and about 60 in black. So fairly large carrying capacity, which is nice when we're boondocking or somewhere that doesn't have a sewer hookup. How about you, Tony, in the Class C?
Yep, so Class C, again, you know, smaller, you know, lower weight restrictions, so we have we got a 35-gallon freshwater tank and 30 black, and then I think about 40 gray. So we can make it about close to a week on the black tank, but the fresh water and the gray water, especially when we're boondocking, that can vary. So we spent a week in Moab, you know, so think about it. If you only have, 35 gallons of fresh water, you're not showering every day.
Sure.
So that's something to think about too. And
yep, that's a definite, you know, we I guess our limit in ours has been about 10 days we've made it, and for us it's always a challenge for the black. You know, the black is what fills up, you know, and that's filling up our freshwater tank. So we may start with 90 gallons of fresh water, but we'll typically refill that. You know, I have a 7-gallon freshwater tank that I carry around with me. I'll go fill it up and pour it into the RV to kind of sustain us a little bit longer. And like Tony said, that's taking really, really short showers, or finding somewhere in the town nearby. Like in Moab, there's a great aquatic center where you can, it's $50 a week, you can swim all you want in the pools, and they have a great shower room. So how about you, Dustin, on yours?
Mine's a little smaller than yours, Todd. I have a 60-gallon freshwater tank, and then the waste tanks are, at the grays that equal, two grays equal 60 gallons, and then a black that's a little smaller. We can go about 6 days. That's about our limit on the black tank. That's our limiting factor is the black tank. So 6 days is good. Yeah, it's a good compromise. You know, we had a toy hauler last, and we kind of missed the tank sizes. That was 120 gallons in a Raptor fifth wheel. And boy, that was nice. We could go for you know, a couple weeks at a time almost if we were conservative. So that was certainly nice, but different RVs, different tank sizes.
Mm-hmm. Yep, for sure.
And I guess the other tank size would be the propane tank.
For sure, yeah, propane tank.
And there's differences too between the trailers and the motorhomes and Class C's. So in my fifth wheel, I carry two removable 30-pound propane tanks, two white propane pigs.
Yep, and the same for me. Two 30-pounders carried on one side of my RV.
Yep, and so on mine, we have an onboard 55-pound propane tank, and so that's nice so that, you know, flying down the road, our fridge runs off the propane, and then obviously, you know, when it gets cold, we kick on propane heat, and so then with that, you know, filling, you're going to have to find either truck stops or usually farm supply. Like Tractor Supply is a great place to stop. They got reasonable prices on propane, and they'll fill on board without issue.
Yep. And then Class A's are the same, right? Class A's typically will have your onboard.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and travel trailers, at least in my experience, typically will have two tanks as well, but they'll be the smaller, what are those?
20 pounders.
What are those called? Those smaller tanks that you can exchange at...
like Blue Rhino.
Blue Rhino, yeah. So that seems to be more common, those tank sizes.
Yeah, the 20 pounders.
20 pounders, yeah, in a travel trailer. So those are very easy. You can exchange those anywhere. And then in the fifth wheel, they're just a larger tank, a taller tank, a 30 pound.
How long do you find your propane lasts? I guess it depends on the time of year.
You know, it lasts until my wife starts screaming that she's out of propane. it's probably a month, I would say.
About a month. Between the two.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, we're about the same.
Yeah, we're about the same. You know, it depends what you do with it. Our stove is obviously propane. I don't cook in our oven a lot. And one of the things I noticed, I went from a tea kettle that I use propane to heat up for my French press, which was another episode of RVing Dads, and now I have an electric kettle, and actually I noticed a difference in propane usage.
Oh yeah, we used to use our hot water heater was propane, and we stopped using the propane feature and only use the electric feature on it. It's a dual fuel, right? It can do electric or propane. So now we only do electric in our hot water tank, and that gives us probably an extra week of usage. We really like that.
Right. I think probably the biggest user of your propane is going to be your heat. If you like it warm and you're in a cold environment, you're going to burn through propane fast.
Furnace, yeah.
Very. Yep.
We have some friends, and I think you know them. We're in a somewhat colder environment, and I think they went through 60 pounds in about 2.5 days with their furnace running pretty much full time.
Yeah, I can see that.
All right, so anything else we want to talk about here as far as these different types of RVs, different classifications, different features? I was gonna get into cost of operation, but you know, overall, I think your cost of operation is gonna be very similar between all the different types. You're gonna have your fuel costs and your tires and just regular operating costs. I don't know if there's any clear winners or clear losers there as far as that goes.
No, you know, at the end of the day, Todd, they're all RVs. You all park them at the same campground. You enjoy the same sights and do the same experiences. So at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter. It's whatever fits your lifestyle and what you enjoy.
Yep, but no matter who you are, no matter what you're driving, everybody's got to dump the black tank.
That is a great way to end it.
Thanks for joining us here tonight. Remember, RVing Dad's t-shirts are the coolest apparel around. And the first person we see wearing an RVing Dad's t-shirt gets a guest plug on the show. We're excited. We're actively looking.
Right. Actually, Tony's on here. He didn't even have to show up in an RVing Dad's t-shirt.
Oh. That should be a requirement now, right?
Yes, it should be, right? All of our guests have to have RVing Dad's t-shirts.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. And, of course, RVing Dad's is sponsored by Full-Time Families, the leading community for full-timing families. And we'd like to extend a big thanks to Tony from...
Let's Travel Family. You can find us at letstravelfamily.com. on all the different social nets, as the kids say these days. Let's Travel Family. Twitter is Let's Travel Fam, but the rest of them, including youtube.com/c/Let's Travel Family.
Perfect. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed this podcast, and we hope you found some value in it, if only for entertainment.